So I don't know about you, but the thing that most stuck out for me was the snowflake bit. Because I don't know if you know, but my generation gets called snowflakes a lot. We're the snowflake generation. What's that? I am a snowflake, thank you. We get called the snowflake generation because we love to be individual and different. We love it. And I want to tell you a little bit about what I was like as a young person, because as a snowflake, I was different, right? So I decided when I was 11 I was going to be a vegan. I did. Why are you laughing at me? As millennials do, I decided when I was in year 7 that I was going to be a vegan. And the reason for that is because someone showed me a video of like how KFC like kills its chickens. I know, and it horrified me to the point where I decided not only was I going to be a vegan, but I also was going to protest against KFC. And so 11-year-old me went into KFC one day with a bucket of red paint. And what did I do? I know. What did I do? I said, KFC is murder. And I, you know, chucked the red and ran. I ran away. We have police officers in the room who may arrest me for vandalism later. Not now. But that's not the only thing that I've done. The same thing, my obsession with being anti-KFC. By the way, I think I eat KFC like at least once a week now. So, you know, total hypocrite. Another snowflake thing. But I also decided to give out leaflets in school. And I went to school in Acton. And the people of Acton love KFC, I think I can happily say. Because I gave out these leaflets to other students at my school, and I got chased physically out of the school because people physically chased me out because I was, like, being anti-KFC. It was very funny. Oh, no, I don't get me started. But if you go onto the People of the Ethical Treatment of Animals website, you can find out. That's what I did. So I loved it. I love being a little bit different. And my individuality is something that that I almost idolise. And it's really interesting kind of hearing all of the different diversity of answers that we have here about the things that we care about. And they're important. The things we care about are important. Another thing that I love that popped up was in this group, when you said what fad should come back and someone said punk. That was another thing that I definitely thought that I was at one point. And I used to hang out in Camden. Who's been to Camden? Put your hand up. Most of us have been to Camden. I used to hang out in Camden. I used to have long hair and I used to wear all black, different to this because it had like spiky, you know, metal things on it, and I wore a chain and I did my thing, and I had really long hair that I used to dye stupid colours. It's a shame really because you begin having really long hair and then at some point the Lord says, not anymore, I'm going to take your mane away. So that's a shame. And actually it's a whole lesson that you have to end up learning about your individuality is special and beautiful, but at the same time, are we worrying about what it means? Are we worrying about what it means to be an individual? Is that something that causes us stress? What are the things that worry you? Because I know for me, I worry about being different. I worry about being something. My mum really wanted me to be a dentist because Lebanese mums want you to be dentists or doctors or lawyers. And I'm none of those things. When I said to her, I'm going to work in the church, she nearly cried. Because she was, honestly, she thought, what an awful decision. You're not going to make any money. And I said, no, you're right, I'm not going to make any money. But that's not why I do what I do. But we care so much about what people think of us. We care so much about achieving, and we care so much about, to the point where we worry. What are the things that we care about? How much time do we spend worrying? How much time do we spend trying to be something that maybe we're not? He talks in that meditation about the vapor, about things that are temporary and that will go away. And I think that that's really, really important. I think it's really important that we remember that none of this is forever, that none of this is permanent, and the things that we spend a lot of time worrying about, we don't need to worry about. Worrying does not change anything. Jesus says it in a really, really beautiful way. Let tomorrow worry about itself. I'm not saying now, because we had a really good chat in our little group over here about, well, if you don't worry, this is Emma. Well, if you don't worry, this is a really bad impression of Emma. Well, if you don't worry, then you're never going to change anything. I hear that. But at the same time, I think worry distracts us. How much do we spend time worrying about stuff to the point where we end up not doing anything about it? I know my issue. Who has trouble sleeping? I have trouble sleeping. Yeah. But then if you've got trouble sleeping, do you then start getting worried about the fact that you're not sleeping, and then that worry distracts you and it keeps you up? And actually what ends up happening is the complete opposite of what you're worrying actually distracts you to the point where you're doing the opposite of what you're worrying about. And that is so often the point here with worry. In community, which is the purpose of this evening, the real theme of this evening, there is a different option, which is, instead of worrying, actually it's togetherness. If you are open, an open book, in the same way that we're an open book towards God, if we're transparent, we worry less. I know for a fact that if I begin to talk about my issues, if I begin to talk about my problems to those around me and to God, and not just keep it in my own head, things begin to sort themselves out. This is why church is important. This is why community is important. Because when we open our mouths, when we do community, we don't need to worry as much, because we are held by God and by each other. We are held by God and by each other. We get that in families, we get that in friendship groups, and we get that in church. Because God is in the midst of all those things. I think what really challenges me about that meditation that we just watched was actually in talking of the vapor, and actually the fact that when we begin to see everything around us as a temporary thing, we then get to see the holiness behind it. Because if we focus on the vapor, if we focus on the thing right there in front of us, we miss the big picture. And when we begin to remember that all of this is temporary, we can then see God beyond it. We can then begin to see God beyond it. And so these guys, Gungor, they're called, the same people who wrote the meditation wrote a song, wrote a worship song explaining a little bit more. And so what I'd love us to do is spend a couple of moments just drinking in this song, enjoying it, and use it to worship God in your own heart. As we think about the holiness, the godliness beyond the temporary. And I think this song explains what I'm trying to get at far, far better than I possibly could. So let's listen to this.